Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I just gone 7:17 Central African time, and alhamdulillah, that time of the morning where we join our very own Adam Kamda on his slot, fishing with Adam. He's been very busy, people, on the boat, on his different escapades with the world-renowned crew. And there he is back this morning. Great to have Adam Kamda. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, Adam, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Yes, enjoying a lovely crisp morning on the Durban beachfront. It's completely overcast. The sea is quite settled. There's lots of surfers on the water. The sea swell is not as big as was forecast, Shafat. They forecast 2 to 2.2 meters swells, but it looks like it's running at around 1.2 to 1.5 meters, Shafat. But surfers are relaxing on the back line, waiting for the big sets to come through and really enjoying it. And I saw hundreds of joggers jog past my window this morning, Shafat. So people are up and about and getting exercise in Durban.
Well, Adam, you know, once you're talking about surfers, and generally when I see a surfer on the surfboard, it's like a six-pack going up and front. Did you ever see a heavyweight champion surfing this morning on the beachfront or in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, you know, we always associate super fit people out on the in the surf. But surfing is for everyone, Shafat, and I have seen some heavily built surfers out there once in a while. But as you rightly said, most of them are super fit because they go out every morning and they get fantastic exercise riding the waves, Shafat. But as I said, it is for everyone, and even if you don't have the physique that you would imagine a surfer should have, but you're still able to paddle out there and enjoy good waves, Shafat.
You know, the best exercise ever is swimming, because every muscle in your body gets exercised, Adam. And that's why, I mean, how often do you swim, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I used to swim quite often. I don't do it quite as often these days. I really need to get back into it. My problem is I have so many hobbies, Shafat, between the love of cycling and swimming and fishing and sailing. So everything competes for time, Shafat. So inshallah, I'll definitely get back into my swimming soon.
But people say, you know, I swim in the swimming pool, but you don't get the same feeling as when you swim in the ocean. There's always that it energizes you more, and you feel the freshness of that, you know, ocean coming through into your body. And for the rest of the day, you feel like, you know, like a very spryty person. Is that a correct analysis there, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, when you're out in the ocean, you know, you've got the natural elements of the power of the waves crashing over you, and then you've got to contend with currents, the tides flowing in and out, Shafat. So it's a very dynamic environment. Swimming in a swimming pool is much more controlled. You know, there's always a lifeguard at hand, and there's no currents to contend with. So it's quite a completely different experience, and both has its place, Shafat. You know, if you're rushed, you want to have a quick workout in the morning, it's nice to go to the gym and use the pool before work, Shafat. But if you have a little more time, get into the ocean, feel the salt water, the salt air, and the sand between your toes. It's really quite a different experience from swimming in a swimming pool, Shafat.
There's something about you going out into the ocean, and you bring back that positivity that you, you know, enhance from the ocean into your workplace, into your homes, you know, amongst your friends and your family members. And generally, you know, the happenings around you doesn't really get to you, because you are all like wide as the ocean, and you breathe as freely as the ocean, Adam. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafat. You know, if you actually analyze the surfer's demeanor, you'd find, you know, they are much calmer throughout the day. And I think it's attributed to them starting the day off doing exactly what they want. You know, they love that passion of getting onto the surfboard and riding a wave. And by doing that, even for an hour in the morning, Shafat, you know, when you get to the drudge of work, you feel that you've already lived the day. You know, you've got your satisfaction for the day, and then you are, you know, you can face whatever challenges come up. But if you are rushed and, you know, you don't have that opportunity in the morning, and you're always just chasing your tail just to get deadlines done, and you just rush for breakfast and rush to work, you don't have quite the same manner or demeanor about yourself, Shafat.
Now, Adam, this is a very powerful question. My head is like, hey,
jumping into the ocean. Your good friend, Vaizi, I think he took a trip right to Southwest Africa and he spent about 2 weeks there or something. And there he was catching this big fish, big, big fish, and he was posting it. So when he came back, he said, Ganesh, Shafaz, I'm back. I said, hey, welcome. Where's my Pompano? Where's my Garrick? Where's my Dorado? Where's my snook and this and that? He reckoned, hey, man, it was catch and release. So I'm wondering, Adam, so you go, you spend like, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 grand to hit a trip there just to catch and release. I mean, this is like unreal. So you are really, you know, you're not passionate about your sport. You are fanatical about it, Adam.
Yes, Shafaz, if you count the rands and cents, then the best way to get fish in your pot is to visit a seafood store, Shafaz. But that's not what the fishermen do it for. You know, it's the passion, it's the journey. It's, he probably covered maybe 2,000 kilometers with some of his closest friends. It's the outdoors, it's the 4x4 experience. It's the packing for the trip and the anticipation of the trip. When you are there, Shafaz, it's the excitement of, you know, fishing with local knowledge, having the local fishermen guide you and recommend what tackle to use and what bait to use, landing those prize fish. And it's also about sustainable fishing, Shafaz. If everyone goes to these destinations, fills their freezers and bring them back, Shafaz, they may not need so much of fish, but it does do make some impact on that environment. So by fishing, catching and releasing, Shafaz, you are contributing to the local economy there. You are, you know, and you're fishing sustainably, so those fish can continue to spawn and grow. And you come back with fantastic memories, and as you rightfully said, beautiful photographs and trophy photographs to post on social media and to share with your friends, and maybe inspire others as well to follow that journey and to go out there and catch those big fish and happily release them as well, Shafaz.
Yeah, good point there, Adam. But I want to know from you, you know, honest opinion. What is the biggest fish you caught, but you released it, but in your heart you didn't want to release? I know. I mean, we be close, Adam. You're not going to lie to me this morning. Tell me, Adam.
Yes, Shafaz. The two biggest fish that I've caught, we kept for eating, Shafaz. One was a big sailfish that we caught off the Tobingo Beach. The trend for most billfish, Shafaz, is to release them, but it's tradition that you are allowed to keep your first one. So that was my first one and a really, really exciting experience. And that was even with Vaizi on board as well. And that day we caught two sailfish. And then the other big fish I remember clearly was a huge tuna that I caught in Cape Town with my friend Nishad Ibrahim. That one weighed 69 kilos, Shafaz, and also made lots of slices to give out to all our friends in Cape Town, Shafaz.
Hey, I'm thinking when you have a function and you have a fish biryani, hey, it'll go down well, Adam, the fish biryani. Easy digestion.
Yes, Shafaz. Yes, the sailfish is absolutely delicious tasting fish, Shafaz. But as I said, most of the billfish are released, but that one made it to the pot and we did have a lovely fish biryani, and we shared out a lot of fish to our staff as well, Shafaz. So everyone got a slice and everyone got to taste the fish.
No, Alhamdulillah, Allah bless you for that, because you really take good care of those that are, you know, with you, and I won't say under you, but with you, and those that are part of your team. And I know you are, you know, you really reward people for their loyalty, Adam.
Yes, Shafaz, you know, in no business can be run by one man, and, you know, you have to have a happy team to be successful, and we pride ourselves on, you know, keeping our staff motivated, and they give our customers a good experience as well, Shafaz. And as you know, I'm passionate about fishing, so it's all about sharing the experience and getting other people onto big fish and having that fantastic experience, Shafaz.
Look at the message on the screen. Habib says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Chef. Great to have Adam back. Please ask Adam to give us a Karl Guzari and what he did in the past few weeks.
Yes, Shafaz, you know, every Saturday you send me a message, you know, we're on air tomorrow, and unfortunately I had to decline it, you know, fishing. So the weather has been so fantastic the last few weeks, Shafaz. We've been getting lots of sessions in, and fishing has really been on fire out of Durban. Most times we'd go out to number one and catch bonitos. It's so much of fun, Shafaz, on light tackle. We fish 10-pound and 15-pound line. Heaviest would be about 20-pound line. And sometimes you'd hook some really big fish that would strip all the line off your reels, and then you slowly win them back by following it with the boat. And some of the bigger fish get taxed by sharks. So lots of excitement out at sea, fishing for bonitos. In between, we'd hook a snook. There's even some kuta around. We haven't managed to land the kuta, but we've been fortunate to land a few Natal snook already this season. It's just the beginning of the snook season, Shafat, so really, really excited going forward. It's the end of Feb already, so March and April in Durban are known for a good snook run. And Shafat, I cannot explain to you how much of life we've seen out at sea with turtles, dolphins, huge shoals of sprats, mass bunkers, red-eye sardines, sugar mackerel, and not forgetting the sharks, Shafad. Most of the anglers are complaining that they are hooking really prized fish, and they'll fight it for like 15 to 20 minutes, and just as it comes under the boat, then it gets taxed. So that's also a sign of a healthy system, Shafad, if there's lots of sharks around. But there's just one too many for us, Shafad. We are losing lots of our fish and lots of our tackle as well, Shafad.
Now, as you say, you know, you're very fortunate that you go out and you see the life, and the life is teeming in the Indian Ocean. You know, when they had the so-called COVID there, and, you know, there were actually deers and even the big black mambas and all enjoying the seashores. But, you know, you don't find them anymore. When there's quietness, there's stillness, Mother Nature takes over, Adam.
Yes, Shafar. During that period, there was a stop in shipping traffic, and there was a stop in air traffic. Sometimes we only look at the need. There's no boat. Bathers on the beaches that the ocean can recover and enjoying that stillness. But sea creatures are very sensitive to noise, Shafat, and the sounds of the ship's engines and the sounds of the aeroplanes overhead, I think, also has an impact. And because we had that lull for about a year of, you know, lessened ship and aeroplane traffic, that has made quite a difference. You know, sometimes it may not be measurable, but I would imagine that all the sea creatures enjoyed some peace and quiet. And now everything is back to normal. Bathers are around, surfers are in the water, kayaks are paddling past them, boaters are out. But we seem to have found a happy medium, Shafat. You know, the dolphins often come up and frolic around the boat. They're not afraid of us. They're not afraid of the boat. And they seem to be interacting quite happily, Shafat.
Looking at a message here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamza. Harlan Wasalan, welcome back. Really enjoy you. You really add value to Consciously Connected, and the fishing slot is tops. I want to know from you, can hooks get blunt? Please let me know. I heard people sometimes can fish with the blunt hooks, but I'm wondering, how does it get blunt? How do you respond to Ghulam?
Yes. Important part of your fishing tackle. And a lot of beginners overlook the point of checking the hooks that the hook, because bait the hook out. So well, hooks can get blunt through use. If you're using the same trace over a few trips, the physical point gets blunt by contact with the fish or contact with the rocks or sand. And then the other point is the rust as well, Shafat. Often we sharpen our hooks, and if that tip is left exposed, it's exposed to rust. You know, it'll rust very quickly. So one little trick that most anglers do is keep a file or a honing stone in your tackle box. Sharpen your hook every time you know before you use it, and use a little black marker and just paint over that tip that you've sharpened, Shafad. That helps to prevent the rust and keeps it super sharp, Shafad.
Well, Jazakallah for that. And this message says, Assalamu alaikum. My name is Rasul. I really enjoy the show. Great to have Adam back. And please, Adam, advise the people. The flush of dirty water not only creates a brilliant hunting area for predators, but it also flushes the smaller estuaries and the bait fish and so forth. But the bottom line is, some people, they like to jump into the murky waters. warn them about the sharks, Adam. Please, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, this environment that we fish in is very dynamic because you've got the Amgeni River flowing out to sea, which is bringing brown water out, mixing with the deep blue sea, the blue water. And then you also have the Durban Harbour, especially after rains, Shafar, all the rain collects through the canals that fills into the harbour and then flows out to sea. But it creates such an amazing fishing opportunity just at the south breakwater of the harbour entrance, where the harbor water is flowing out full of bait fish like sprats. And then you can actually see a color line where the brown water separates from the blue or greenish water. And snook loves to hunt in this brackish kind of water, Shafard. So that's where we actually target Natal snook. But having said that, as the listener rightly mentioned, that murky water is dangerous for bathing. So if you encounter that on the shore, you know, just be very wary that sharks also like to hunt in brackish water, and make sure that you are swimming in a safe area between the flags under the watchful eye of a lifeguard, Shafar.
MashaAllah, lovely. All the questions coming through. You're adding value to the show. Faisal says, Adam, I know that Dorado is a favorite with your good chummy Vizy also. I heard a lot about Dorado. But I have also heard that you have to use heavier tackles so that you have a lot of fun catching this fish. But unfortunately, I believe I have to go deep sea. What can I catch from the seashores and from the south coast? Okay, did you get Faisal's drift there, Adam?
Yes, Shafard. Dorado mostly is targeted quite far out at sea, so you definitely need to use a ski boat or hire a charter boat. There's various techniques. You find them following structure. So a lot of the ships that are anchored off Durban, little bait fish to live under, and then the Dorado come and hunt there. So you would drift past those ships on a boat. That's one way of targeting it. The other way is to trawl skirted baits out in the deep blue sea for Dorado, usually with heavier tackle. But Dorado is also caught on lighter tackle, Shafard. You remind me of one trip earlier this year when we were actually heading out to the number one spot, which is quite close to the harbor, and we saw a shoal of bonitos rising. So we diverted, we went up to that shoal and threw out our baits. And my good friend Willem Rieder hooked one on light tackle on a winglet glow color lure. And he captured the entire thing on video, Shafard. So if the listener is interested, I'd recommend them to subscribe to WR Fishing and search for that Dorado off Durban, and you'd see exactly how it's caught on light tackle, Shafard.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah for that. Farooq says, Adam, my man, you bring fishing alive. I agree with you. He really brings it alive. He says, Adam, you know the days are very long on the beaches, but the fishing rewards have been worth the wait. But I get sunburnt all the time. And when I get home, the wife fights with me, not because of the catches, but because of my sunburn. Can you give me advice? Because I have everything. Perhaps my material is not right. I even cover my head, but I still get sunburnt. Adam, how do you respond to Farooq?
Yes, Shafard, it's different strokes for different folks. Some people love to fish from sunrise to sunset, catch all the different phases of the tide. So they've got the incoming tide and the outgoing tide, and they can figure out when the fish are biting. And some people would go out, say, half an hour before sunrise and fish till half an hour after sunrise and fish every morning, Shafard. So that way, on the different days, they would get the different phases of the tide. And they'd be able to work out whether the shad are biting or there's stump nose around or pompano around to catch. And I've been fishing quite often lately, Shafard, and the system we use, Shafard, is to keep everything covered. I wear a long-sleeve fishing shirt, which is the UV protection. I wear gloves, I wear a hat, I wear a buff. My shirt has got a hoodie, so the hoodie is on my head with a cap on top, so the sides of my neck are protected. I wear long track pants with tackies. So every part of my body is covered from the sun, Shafard, and I wear a cap as well. And the exposed parts, we use a bit of sunblock. We use sunglasses as eyewear. So if you look at us, Shafard, it looks like we're going to outer space when we are dressed for fishing. But this allows us to fish every day, Shafard, without getting too much of exposure from the sun.
Yeah, lovely. And, you know, you don't have that irritation all week. Hey, you got sunburnt. Ismail says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam. I have to confess on air that when my brother-in-law, who is a fanatical fishing fundi, talks about fish, I do as if I understand, but I don't understand a word, Adam. But I enjoy you also. But the other day, he was talking about flatfish, and I just nodded my head like I knew what was flatfish, but I don't know what flatfish is. Please, Adam, tell me what is a flatfish. Even I don't know what's a flatfish, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, as you know, if you fish regularly, you start to focus on different species of fish. So you would use different tackle and different bait and different traces to target all the different types of fish. And one broad category is edibles and inedibles. So your edibles will be all the stuff that, you know, you could land and bring and put in the pot and serve it up on the table. The inedibles, we'd consider the sharks, the skates, the rays, the sand sharks. And a portion of the inedibles would be your flatfish. So all the skates and rays and the sand sharks, if you look at the profile, they are very flattened and they generally cruise on the bottom of the ocean scavenging for dead and decaying matter and eating fish. So that's what they were talking about, the flatfish, Shafat. And if you look at them, you would see that they are flat. Those stingrays, those skates, and the sand sharks form the group of flatfish, Shafat.
Hey, Professor, Jazakallah. Now I know. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Hey, skate and all the way that skate looks at you, one sting with that tail and you're gone. Not gone dead, but it'll hurt you. And, you know, I'm looking at this message from Ghaffar. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Remember the days, Bru Chef, when we went to the harbor and the prawn and the cracker base and all those things that were there, the stump nose and the grunter, when dads and grandfathers were just happy to go there. And we didn't even have to go and get a bait license. We just got it there near the shores of the harbor. How do you respond to Ghaffar? And I know they all like, hey, what you got in the newspaper there? I know I got some crackers. You want some? You want some? And they shared it amongst each other, Adam.
Yes, Shafar. Those days, a lot of the bait organisms were very prolific. These days, it's a lot less. And it is regulated. So you need a license. For example, if you want to collect cracker shrimp from the harbor, you need to buy a permit. It's not too expensive. It's just like your fishing permit. It's just one of those boxes that you tick on the box when you buy it from the post office. And then you're allowed to catch a certain number per day. And this regulates, for example, the number of crayfish you're allowed to catch, the number of octopus, the number of mussels, etc. Shafar.
Alhamdulillah, looking at this message from Abdul. Abdul says, what a show, Bru Chef. Adam is really rocking. Yeah, he rocks. He's fished on the rocks, tiger rocks, people. And he says, I want to know about Tropical Cyclone Freddy. What will it do to our fishing? I'm scared to go with my rowing boat into the water. He's got a rowing boat up till today. How do you respond to him, to Abdul?
Yes, Shafat, as you know, anglers follow the weather quite carefully, and we've been following the progress of Freddy from the time it made landfall on Madagascar and headed towards Mozambique. And when it was reaching Mozambique, there was a question whether it would move north or move south. If it moved south, it would have affected the northern parts of Zululand quite badly in terms of heavy rains and heavy winds. Fortunately, it has lost a lot of its steam as it reached land. And today's cold weather, completely overcast and forecast of swells, I think is a remnant of, it's actually an effect of Freddy, Shafat. So although that weather system is maybe 300 to 600 kilometers away, but it is so wide and so big, it has some of its effects has reached Durban. But thank God it's not devastating. It's not huge winds. It's just, you know, a bit of coolness, which I think a lot of people find relief from the hot days that we had recently, Shafat.
Now, Adam, this is a very probing, it's a deep question. Where do they get the name for the cyclone? Freddy and Dimoina and Delalia and I don't know. Why can't they give it a Muslim name? Cyclone Adam. Why, Adam?
No, Shafad, if they call it Abdul or something, maybe they'll think it's a terrorist. Rather Freddy.
Hey, Adam, you have to do maybe ask your colleagues, you know, next time. Hey, why this name? Yeah. Where they get it from? But
yeah, if you look at all the hurricanes, etc., in America, you I think they go in alphabetical sequence, so they start with an A and a B and a C. So Freddy is probably the sixth tropical cyclone that's come past that Mozambique area, Shafat. But I think the meteorologists will be able to more clearly define what system they use to find these names, Shafat.
No, lovely. They can give it all new names, but they can't rename the stars. Yeah. Those Arab astronomers, they made an indelible impression. Like how you are making an indelible impression on your slot, fishing with Adam. Well, Adam, you got a chili garlic ginger prawn recipe, and Gigi Foy is shouting and screaming. He's been missing your recipe for the past few weeks. So, Adam, bismillah.
Yes, Shafar, today I've got a chili garlic ginger recipe, a prawn recipe. About half a kilo of prawns. The first step is to sear the prawns. So in a large nonstick skillet over high heat, some oil, add half the prawns and sear it until light golden, about 45 seconds. Then transfer to a bowl. They will still be raw inside. Repeat with the remaining prawns. Remove the pan from the stove to cool down slightly and reduce the heat to medium. Then the second step, Shafat, is to make the sauce. Return the pan to the stove and heat some sesame oil. Add some crushed garlic, ginger, and red pepper flakes and cook until the garlic turns golden, only about 20 seconds. Add some water, some sriracha sauce, light soy sauce, and sugar. Stir, increase the heat to medium-high, then let the sauce simmer until it starts to thicken to a syrupy consistency, about 3 minutes. Then the third step, return the shrimp to the pan and toss to coat in the sauce. Cook until the prawns are fully cooked and the sauce has thickened and coated the shrimp, about 1 minute more. Serve, transfer the shrimp and all the sauce to a serving plate. Sprinkle with sesame seeds, red chili pepper, and green onion. And there you have it, Shafat.
Absolutely delicious, Adam. You know what? I really missed you, right? I look at all the response you got this morning. I don't know. Do you really miss your slot when you're out in the ocean or you just forget about us, Adam?
Shafar, I feel so bad. I feel so guilty. I feel even if I'm at sea, I must basically try and, you know, accept the call and do the show. But unfortunately, the signal, you know, deteriorates very quickly as we head out to sea. And our day at sea is very unpredictable. Sometimes we station for like half an hour, an hour near the South Breakwater, which is possible to do a show. And sometimes we follow the baits and head out far out to sea and the signal is weak. And then combined with that, Shafat, is the load shedding. Lately, during load shedding time, you know, there's just no signal. Even if you're on land, you know, there's just no signal, which makes it very difficult. But I definitely miss you guys and miss being on air. And definitely make an effort every week to make myself available, Shafar.
No, Jazakallah khair, Adam, and the whole world knows who's Adam Kamda. Yeah, our fishing fundi. Adam, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, maybe your parting words. I mean, what's your parting word this morning?
Yes, Shafar, I'd just like to encourage everyone to come down to the beach and enjoy the ocean, whether it's dipping feet, dipping your toes in the water, having a swim to the backline, or booking a charter and enjoying a lovely day's fishing out at sea, Shafar. Thanks for the lovely show, Shafar. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.